podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Franny Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia, and he's done it!
James Beattie, oh, Belter!
Mané for the hat-trick! That's an unbelievable hat-trick to Sadio Mané!
Shane Long takes Southampton to Wembley!
Graziano Pelle with a left-foot strike!
We're past Lipsitz and he's got it in as well!
And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush, and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome to In That Number. I'm Ray, he's Kevin. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin, as usual.
This is episode 137, I think. Title, Mush?
Chase Anatomy.
Great stuff. Support for In That Number is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped have launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0, Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. For all our listeners, we have a special exclusive offer just for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping using the promo code ITN20 at manscaped.com. This week, we will be discussing both games from the week, Chelsea away in the Cup and Watford away from Saturday. We bring in Tim later to discuss next week's game against Aston Villa. And we have the homecoming of Danny Ings and you. Yes, you, Kevin. How are you? Is everything good this week?
Yeah, more or less. Happy Halloween, by the way.
Do we say that? Happy Halloween? I mean, is it supposed to be a happy thing? I don't know.
Well, what can you say then? Have a shit Halloween.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a traditional Irish holiday, isn't it? Irish New Year, basically. So, yeah, have a bit of fun with it if you do. If you don't care, fine.
Well, I don't care, but I will be having a little bit of fun with the children anyway, but yeah.
I'm a bit worse for wear today because I was having a bit of fun last night for no real reason at all.
Celebrating Saints' first away win of the season, I hope.
That is a very good reason. Yeah, I went to, had some stuff to do with the flat and the in-laws are doing some work on their flat, so I managed to watch the match at my brother-in-law's, and we got in 10 litres of beer.
Ouch!
God, I didn't expect us to get all the way through it, but we did, yeah.
Nice. That's an achievement in itself, Kev.
Yes. I'm feeling a little bit worse for wear this morning.
It wouldn't be a podcast without you feeling worse for wear now, would it?
I don't know, I was relatively sober last time, wasn't I?
Guarantee you won't be next week either.
Yeah, I'll probably still be feeling under the weather. Speaking of the weather, how's it with you?
Oh, it's been awful here this morning. It's as you know, the Forley power station was demolished this morning around 6 o'clock. I think it was 6 o'clock. But it was a big noise, a big bang going off. But the weather has been absolutely awful. It's like... Yeah, it's just been bucketing down the winds. It's like someone's thrown a bucket of water out of the window, you know. It's just been horrendous. It's brightened up a bit now. I say brightened, it's still cloudy, but it's not wet.
So you thought it was just a thunderclap?
Was just thunder, yeah. I just did, because the weather was so bad, you see, I just thought, yeah. And I completely forgot about Forley, you know, the cigarette going down, but...
Yeah, that's another landmark gone. Vosper's gone, now Forley.
Yep.
It's a different skyscraper.
Hopefully it'll be Fratton Park next week.
Yes.
Anyway, before we get into the news, a quick reminder, buy me a coffee. If you appreciate what we do and you feel you'd like to buy us a pint, then please head to buymeacoffee.com/in that number.
Or if you want to buy us a pint in person, drop us a line, because we'll probably be able to meet up for a pint or two before the match.
Definitely. We'll be doing a crawl around the town. although, Kev, I think you've had enough for now. But
no, I think, yeah, come Friday, I'll definitely need a drink.
Buykevawater.com.
Yes. Yeah, buy me an early morning pick-me-up.
Right, should we get into the ITN news?
Go on, then.
This is ITN In That Number News.
ITN News, then. Not a lot of news going around at the moment. But, I mean, I do want to bring up with you, Kev, we've heard some rumours of James Ward-Prowse being on the move again. This time to, can you guess?
Shariah FC.
Yeah, Newcastle United.
Yes.
But, I mean, I think everyone's going to be linked with them over the next few windows, aren't they?
Yeah. Salisu. I don't mind. Salisu, Brian, everyone.
Yeah, but he signed the new contract recently, hasn't he? So it's going to cost him a lot of money. 50 million plus, I reckon.
Yeah, and he hasn't really been advertising himself particularly well this season.
No, but he's back now. Had a good game, I thought. Thought he was good.
He was fine.
Yeah. Elyounoussi, Kev, he skipped the Chelsea tie because he had, he needed minor surgery on a hand injury that he sustained with international duty for Norway. But it's not a problem at all because he was in the starting 11 at Watford. So heavily bandaged, but yeah, he was there. I think he was there anyway. I hardly saw him in the first half.
He definitely picked up. I know it wasn't just a wanking accident or something.
Hey, I don't know. This is what the press is saying.
Yeah, I think they're just covering it.
Another injury, Armando Broya, ankle injury, but I was told, yeah, nothing serious and nothing to worry about.
Personally by Armando himself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Obviously not. I just,
that's what I just bumped into him before the match.
Yeah, just, is it Broya or Broja? Because everyone keeps on calling you Broja.
Yeah, no, it's definitely Broya.
Yeah, no one's calling in that. No one still. But anyway, ankle injury.
Albanians are.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good enough for me.
I've heard some of the commentators pronounce it that way.
I've not heard anybody. And I'm starting to question you, if I'm honest, Kev.
Nah, never in doubt.
Never in doubt, okay. But yeah, ankle injury, nothing to worry about, nothing too serious. Which is good news. Obviously, he missed the game against Chelsea because he wasn't allowed to play. October, Kev, has come to an end. But we enter November, which means we should take a look at the month ahead of us. No more cup games until January now, so we can have 100% focus on moving up that Premier League table, which started yesterday. Only three games, however, as we approach the final international break of 2021. England are ending their World Cup qualifying campaign against Albania on the 12th of November and certain victory against San Marino on the 15th. But Saints then, Kev, we have Villa, Norwich and Liverpool for November. Those dates for you. So Friday the 5th of November is Aston Villa at home and that's an 8 p.m. kickoff. Then we have that international break and we don't play again until Saturday the 20th of November. And that is Norwich away, a 3 p.m. kickoff. And then the following Saturday the 27th, Liverpool away. And that's also a 3 p.m. kickoff. How many points are we going to pick up here then, Mush? Because I'll be 10. Okay.
We'll find a way.
I'll be very disappointed with less than 4 because we really need points against Villa, don't we? I mean, we should probably just write off that Liverpool game. Although Brighton didn't yesterday, I suppose. Anything less than all 3 points at Norwich is a failure.
Yes.
So that Villa game becomes massive. And that could shape the whole month, really, couldn't it? Because if you lose that game, then we almost certainly need a point against Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, unless Villa can pick up a point against West Ham today, beating Villa would mean that we jump above them in the table.
Well, we are above them in the table as we speak, but they've got a game in hand, like West Ham.
Yeah. We'd potentially even be above Leicester as well, which would be a very ironic twist. I want to see it happen.
I'm all for it. But yeah, how many points then, Kev? Seriously.
4.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same. I'm going to take a draw with Villa, a win at Norwich, and a heavy defeat at Liverpool.
It doesn't have to be heavy.
It doesn't have to be heavy, but it will be, won't it? Let's face it.
Yeah, but I mean, that favourable patch of fixtures right up to that Norwich game, I think, yeah, by the end of that, we can judge how well our season's been going so far. And, I'm quite pleased, to be honest. I was never really that worried. I wasn't shit in the bed like some fans were and saying that Ralph's got to go and he doesn't know what he's doing. Mm. I'm excited for each of these matches coming up, even the Liverpool match. Beaten last season, why can't we do it this season?
Very good, Kev. I love it. Love the optimism. I wish I had the same. Okay, then, loans. Kane Ramsey of Crewe. Crewe at home to MK Dons on Saturday had their asses handed to them 4-1 at home. Still no Ramsey involved. He's picked up a slight knock, so he's not included. Dan and Lundaloo at Lincoln. He started and he scored his first Lincoln goal away to Wigan as they won 2-1. So congratulations, Dan and Lundaloo. That's great news. And then on Saturday, they drew 1-1 with Shrewsbury. He played the whole game. Didn't score, though. Will Ferries Crawley, home to Port Vale on Saturday. They, too, got their asses handed to them. A 4-1 loss at home. Another 4-1 loss at home. Ferry started, but was yanked off after 78 minutes.
That's a happy ending. It's always nice, isn't it?
But yeah, congrats to Dan and Lundaloo.
Yeah.
And that table for you then. Lincoln are up to 12th, just above that other team up the road, which is nice. A point above them. And Crewe are still rock bottom of League One. Crawley in League Two, that after that heavy defeat, they are 18th in League Two. No promotions for them then, but hey, hopefully no relegations. Is there anything else from you, Mush?
I just wanted to mention, did you hear the news that Jeff Settling's leaving Sky?
No.
Soccer Saturday.
Oh, no, that's a shame. I'm gutted.
So he's the last one of that classic lineup, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm gutted about that because he was fun. He's so good at his job.
Mm. Doing it for so long as well.
Decades, yeah.
Mm.
That's a shame. The B team then, two wins on the spin following their first win of the campaign against Wolves. They picked up their second against Reading on Monday night. Another 1-0 victory and Dom Ballard with his goal. The first goal of his career. Brilliant stuff, yeah, from Bojack and the boys. And with that win, Kev, they've moved off the foot of the table, just 1 point behind Reading. And they play a difficult game at home to third-placed Villa on Sunday the 31st. That's 2 p.m. kickoff. That is a big, big game now.
So, hang on, wait. We can potentially smash Villa twice in 1 week.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never know. The women's, then, still enjoying their break. But they play Bridgewater United on Sunday the 31st. That's today, as we record. They will also be facing local rivals Eastleigh in the Hampshire FA Senior Cup quarter-final at Staplewood. That will be on Thursday the 9th of December, behind closed doors, however, so you won't be able to get in for that. And also, FA Cup first round, they are at home to Swindon on Sunday the 14th of November at Snow Stadium. Tickets will be announced in due course. And a new signing for the ladies team, Kev.
Yes, young Wales international Alice Griffiths, signed from Bridgewater United.
Ooh.
Yes, our fifth new signing of the season.
Yeah, this is good. She's only 20, so this is good. And hopefully can she play today? That'd be good.
I don't see why not.
If she signed the papers in time, then she could play. So, yeah.
Sorry, yeah, she's a defensive midfielder.
Dean Hammond here. Thank you for tuning in to In That Number.
So then, we'll start off against Chelsea away at the Carabao Cup fourth round. We drew 1-1. Kai Havertz, 44th minute, and then Shea Adams with the equaliser just after the half. Chelsea won 4-3 on penalties, but lots of positives to take from this brave performance against the tabletop in Chelsea. To narrowly miss out on penalties is hard to take for sure, but like I said, you should be proud of this performance, right?
I should be. I am.
When I say, I mean we should be proud of
it. Yeah, no, definitely. I don't think anyone really expected us to take the game to Chelsea, especially with the number of changes to the lineup that both teams made. I saw the team sheets and saw the Chelsea team that Tuchel had chosen, and it's kind of scary stuff. I mean, some of their best players are out anyway, aren't they? It's no Lukaku, no Werner, no Kante.
No, but like you said, wholesale changes. Yeah, 9 changes for us in total. Only Salisu and Diallo keeping their places from that Burnley draw. But all in all, though, Mersh, I think this team was ideal. I was happy with it. I mean, we spoke last week about how we needed to see Kyle Walker-Peters, Lianco, needed Stuart Armstrong to get some games to start. And, you know, you could say the same for Forster and Teller. They need some games, don't they? And, you know, that main striker duo of Armstrong and Adams, they need games. And obviously we see them against Watford too. But I don't know about you, but there was not one person in that 11 that I wasn't pleased to see.
I was maybe a little worried about Lianco after his first outing against Sheffield United. And how
sure, I get that. Well, you're probably a bit nervous about him from the start, but at the same time, he needs games, doesn't he?
Yeah, I understand that. And I think Ralph has kind of accepted that. And towards the end of that game, where he was flanked either side in the back three, he didn't look as bad when he's got cover. So that's what he chose to do there, really. It was kind of a 3-4-3, either, you know, 3-3 or 5 at the back. Yeah, Valerie is a centre-back, which, again, it's a little bit unorthodox. But, yeah, why not? This is the time to experiment.
Indeed, yeah. And incidentally, Stuart Armstrong with the armband, which was nice to see. Kai Havertz gave the hosts the lead after 44 minutes, as I mentioned, from a corner. Free header. Simple, effective, 1-0 to the hosts.
Yeah, again, it's another set-piece goal that we've let in. We're not the best on corners.
Actually, we're the worst in the league.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, this not being a league game, there's no exception here, but yeah, it's Alonso breaking forward and he beats Kyle Walker-Peters there. It happened a few times, really. But Lianco steps in a bit behind for that corner. Ziyech takes it really, really well. And Havertz, he just has to get above Lianco and Kyle Walker-Peters again to bang in a free header. Fraser Forster, I mean, brilliant as much as he did have. He could see it coming, but it was just he didn't have enough time to react.
He did not know. Forster made some good saves, didn't he, in this game? You said he had a good game that he had. Yeah. Shai Adams, Kev, the equaliser bundled in, I guess, just after the break. right place, right time, I guess is the only thing you can say for that. Not the best of goals, but who gives a fuck?
Yeah, and it was Kyle Walker-Peterson again and again. He does like to get forward, and sometimes when there isn't a cross or a pass on, he's been reluctant to go for it and, you know, just scream, just have a crack, mate. What's the worst that could happen? And he did it here. And his shot, it just sort of rattles between Kepa's legs.
And yeah, it was poor.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, though, Kepa did have a decent game for Chelsea as well. I thought they were both fairly good performances from the keepers. But yeah, Chase right there to bundle in the rebound.
With any part of his anatomy.
Yes, yeah.
Just not his head. Just not his head, please.
Yes, God, we'll get to that.
but you, as you're mentioning Forster, I want to bring this up because Ralph is left with this dilemma again. But it's a good dilemma at the moment. It's not, we're not having a conversation about, oh, he's been shit. Oh, he's also shit. It's, they are both playing very well. Both keepers are in form. Ralph has made his decision and he's clearly he's sticking to it. This makes me laugh and it also makes me a little bit angry because when Ralph changed them every other game last season, fans would complain. And then he clearly makes his mind up and says, look, Macca, you're my number one. You're starting in goal for the league. And Fraser, you're going to be the cup keeper. People complain. So what can he do? Why are people complaining when Macca's playing so well? Why is there a problem here? Why are they making a problem out of nothing? Macca's playing well. Why would you take him out? Forster's also playing well. But what's the problem with it? They're doing their jobs. Let's leave it as it is, please, and not talk about it anymore.
Yeah, I don't really... I think I've just accepted it, to be honest. So he's fucked if he does and fucked if he doesn't, isn't he? I mean, it was a little bit ridiculous that he'd have, you know, 2 games on, 2 games off, whatever.
I think towards the end of last season, he was making his mind up for this season, and he's done that. Yeah. But whatever he does, fans are going to question it.
I'm not.
Well, good for you, Kevin. Good for you. We'll move on then, shall we?
Yeah.
Kev, your boyfriend, Shane Long, he got some minutes off the bench. But more importantly, Will Smallbone, 8 months on the sideline. Did you have a small bone, by the way, for Shane Long?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, no, it's great to see him playing. I know the fans moan when he does come on, but I thought Shane looked good. I mean, I thought it was funny, though, that he came on within seconds, almost immediately, he's caught offside.
Yeah.
That's our Shane.
He was on the bench at Watford as well, wasn't he? But Will Smallbone not included in that Watford squad. That's weird. I mean, I get that you're bringing Smallbone back gradually because, as I said, he's at 8 months out. But I just think stick him on the bench for Watford, and if things were going well, as they were, because we were in complete control, there might be a good, 10 minutes to have for him at the end of the game just to get used to some Premier League football. But I don't know what he's been. Maybe he picked up another knock. I don't know.
I wouldn't have put him on. To be honest, on Tuesday when I was watching it, I thought Smallbone was horrific. I thought he didn't really add much to our game. In fact, I thought he took away a lot from our game. But looking back at the highlights, he didn't look that bad. I mean, I remember the goal that was almost made in Ireland. Shane Long from just by the corner flag putting a beautiful cross on a plate for Smallbone. And his header goes straight to Kepa. That would have been a brilliant way to stamp your comeback, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's a little bit harsh on Smallbone, isn't it?
I think on the night it was harsh. I think I was obviously a bit, raging at the chances that we missed, and he did give the ball away cheaply a few times. And his penalty.
Well, before we get on to that, I just want to say, right, when did he come on? He came on with about 10 minutes to go in that Chelsea game, right?
Yeah, he was the second.
Yeah, 77th minute for Stuart Armstrong, right? So in those just over 10 minutes that he had two shots, which was second in the team. And he had one of them on target, which is what we managed in at Watford yesterday in total.
Yeah, that's true.
And he also had six crosses. And put that in comparison, Kyle Walker-Peters managed 4. Musa Gnabry managed 3. He managed 6. Second, again, with just over 10 minutes. I don't think he was that bad. But, okay.
No,
you say he gave the ball away a lot. That's. I think he's just going to get used to the pace. And let's not forget, he was playing at Stamford Bridge here.
Yeah, I think it's a baptism of fire. But I just was giving myself a chance to correct myself because, before I watched the highlights back, I thought that the Smallbone was poor, but yeah, I was obviously paying too much attention to his mistakes and not enough to the contributions he made.
That's not a bad thing, though, is it? I mean, you do that. If you only notice the bad things that he does, you're not going to obviously notice every single cross that he puts in. It's fine.
Yeah, probably say the same about Walcott as well.
Yeah, definitely with Walcott, yeah. But, Kev, as you said, ultimately we were to be eliminated on penalties, and you brought this up. Walcott and Smallbone both missing theirs. They've apologised to the fans. But to be honest, Kev, when I look back at this game, I won't even think about the penalty misses. I'm just going to take pride in the fact that, we took a top team to penalties. And every report that you read on the game, I mean, I've looked at Chelsea reports for this as well. It leads with that headline, Chelsea need penalties to advance. That is what their angle is. And I think we have to take some pride in that. And I think it was a great performance. And we never expected to win, did we? I mean, looking at our predictions, although your prediction was absolutely spot on. But yeah,
yes.
And I just think I'm happy with this cup run. It's kind of like what we wanted. And, an 8-0 win over Newport. We had a penalty victory over Sheffield United, which was a stubborn Sheffield United side. And now we can concentrate on the league. I know that's what everyone says when they get knocked out of the cup, but it's true. We can concentrate on moving up that table.
Yeah, I mean, there is an FA Cup that's going to be coming around quite soon. But, the League Cup's kind of done its job. We've got some game time for some of the players that otherwise wouldn't have had any. And you've got players scoring goals. And, only Lucy's won his place back in the first team off the back of some good cup performances.
Sure, yeah. Good point.
Forster wouldn't have seen any game time at all if it wasn't for the cup. So, yeah, it's been good. It's just a little bit disappointing that we took him so close. And, it was just one bad penalty away. I mean, even Fraser Forster with probably the best save of the game, and that's a difficult one to choose. He saved the penalty of that skate cunt, although he did seem almost as impressed as I was by the save.
Yeah, it's hard to take when you lose on penalties, isn't it? I mean, we're still reeling from the Italy game.
Yeah, it kind of throws with that, to be honest. I mean, I don't quite understand why Ralph picked Smallbone. He's only just got back into the team and put him under that pressure to take a penalty. I probably wouldn't have gone for him.
We mentioned Lianco at the start. I want to highlight him a little bit because he came into the second game under that pressure, had that very difficult debut against Sheffield United. To come in again and not having been close to the side since, apart from, you know, on the bench, at Stamford Bridge as well. And he was great. You know, he had one shot, 64% pass accuracy, 7 aerial duels won, 2 tackles, 10 clearances, 1 shot block, 1 successful dribble, 25 passes, 5 long balls completed, very solid at the back. Complete turnaround from that Sheffield United debut.
He was absolutely outstanding. Just the kind of brute that we expected.
Yeah.
And he was commanding the line as well. But yeah, it's just one moment in the match that really caught my eye. And I think that Dan Fox, who listens to the show, he tweeted it. I thought, oh, okay, yeah. I wasn't the only person who saw that. But towards the end of the match, He manages to win the ball from the halfway line and muscles it out into space just behind the Chelsea back line. And just his body language as he passes it out calmly to Walker Peters at the right wing. And he just gestures with his arm. It's like, yeah, deal with that, son. Just, yeah, wow. It's incredible. You wouldn't think that was his first start against the Premier League team.
I think if he gets those performances up and starts playing more regularly, he's going to become a fan favourite, isn't he?
I mean, he already is. I mean, yes, he does love all this social media hype.
He's a character.
He's definitely a character, but I do genuinely believe that he's excited to be here and he's enjoying himself.
Good. Good.
And yeah, if we can get a good defender out of him, I think we could have ourselves at least someone to command the back line.
Some great content as well, Kev. Something great to talk about. But 37% possession, 7 shots on target out of 15. That's an improvement. We struck in 23 crosses. And as I said, 8 of those were from Stuart Armstrong. Will Smallbone had 6 of them. Considering, yeah, as we said, he came off the bench in the 77th minute, I think that's pretty decent. Man of the match for you, Kevin? Is this an easy one?
Oh, it's really not, and that's why I'd like you to start.
Oh, I'm going to go with Lianco, just because of all the things that I've said before. You know, all his stats prove to me that he's right up there. And from coming off the back of that Sheffield United game, it was going to be tough. And you mentioned it when we did the lineup. I was happy to see him because I wanted to see what more he had to offer. You mentioned that it was a question mark. The only one that you were like, oh, shit, this is going to be like 6-7-0 here. Because, you know, him at the back against the free scoring, top of the league Chelsea side, it's going to be difficult. But I thought he held his own very well. As you say, we took him to penalties. Just such a turnaround. And we know what we've got with him a little bit more now.
Yeah, I mean, you almost scored right to death.
Didn't you?
Yeah, he was absolutely outstanding. I normally say that, I give the man of the match the player that got me out of my seat the most. And it was Lianco, but I just feel so sorry that I have to overlook Forster yet again in what was an incredible performance, saving a penalty. He had 13 saves in that match. 13. And yeah, even like Kepa had a decent match. He only had 6 shots that he saved. So yeah, I'm going to, just fairness sake, I'm going to give it to Big Fraser.
Good for you, Kev. I like it. Yeah, let's not forget about Fraser.
No, if you'd have said four star, I would have gone with Lianco.
Well, that's good. That's good. Let's balance that out a little bit and get some more votes for player of the month for October.
Can I say, before we finish talking about this match, just how incredible the away support was? It was just immense. Yeah. I mean, you could only really hear the Saints crowd, the Saints fans in the crowd.
And as you did yesterday as well.
Yeah, and they were singing "Your support's fucking shit," and it was. But I think the Chelsea support, the only one time you could hear them, they were shouting at Walcott that he was an Arsenal reject, and that those sort of mind games to have worked on him.
That support carried away to Watford, Vicarage Road. It was brilliant there as well. Massive victory on the road. I was really nervous about this one because, you know, I was glad that we got it out of the way. It was one of those ones that I was really concerned with. You know, because they conceded five and then they scored five. I did wonder what they were going to do in this one. And I was speaking to a few people that, you know, that cover Watford, and that they were the same as me and not really sure what sort of Watford side we're going to get. But really, Kevin, they caused us no problems, did they? I mean, apart from that Sarr chance and 3 points on the road. But, you know, it was a lot harder than it needed to be.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a big, big result, isn't it? I mean, this could have easily been an upset, I think.
I think it was.
We were either a good save by Maka short of conceding the goal. Yeah, we had so many chances. But, yeah, 1-0 is, I think it's a disappointing scoreline, to be honest.
Yeah, yes. Of course it is. Disappointing scoreline. I mean, without the shots on target, but, you know, 3 points away from home, first away win, you're not disappointed with that.
No, it's 3 points that we definitely sorely needed. And, if we hadn't, if we'd even just got a draw, I think that wouldn't have been enough at all. And, the fans of the Unravels back again.
Yeah.
True tests are going to come later on.
Of course, yeah. Che Adams with the goal after 20 minutes, 1-0, as you said. Four changes from the Burnley win then. The Burnley draw. Burnley win? Wow. See, it should have been a win. Diallo, Walcott, Perro on the bench. That's kind of harsh on Diallo, but I guess, you know, he needed to, didn't he, really? Broya misses out because of that ankle injury. And a chance again for Adam Armstrong and Che Adams up top. And, of course, captain James Ward-Prowse was back after his 3-game suspension from the Chelsea League game. I don't know about you, Mush, but I thought with Elyounoussi's hand injury, he would be left out entirely. And I expected Stu to start. But no, you know, he was on the bench. And that was my only gripe with the lineup, really.
Yeah, but, you know, again, Ralph's got his reasons. Maybe he just doesn't feel that he's quite up to match fitness yet.
You mentioned that you were disappointed with the result. Well, the scoreline, I would say. Pleased with the performance?
Yeah, definitely pleased with the performance. We were getting chances off left, right and centre. Most of which were out of arms truck. I had the Saints live text feed on at the same time as the match, just popping up. And they might as well change his name to Armstrong Goes Close, because every 5 minutes, Armstrong sticks another one over. Armstrong puts another one wide. Yeah. Armstrong misses a sit.
Yeah. Would you prefer that, though? Or like the games that we've seen previous where we just weren't doing anything? The chances were not coming. The chances were coming here.
Is it better to have, you know, 10 shots off target than none at all?
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, I think, yeah, if you keep getting the shots off, then you're eventually you're going to score. But it's difficult to say that about Adam Armstrong, isn't it? You get the feeling that he's going to score eventually, but, yeah, will he?
Well, again, yeah, we started better again. We seem to be doing that a lot, taking the game to them, using the width well. So we had Kyle Walker-Peters playing at left back and Livramento at right. And they looked to get forward every opportunity. And the Watford fullbacks of Jeremy and Gakia and Adam Messina, they were in all sorts of trouble. Couldn't sort it out. Almost played dividends when Armstrong headed over the bar. That was a good chance. That was a bad, bad header too. I know how your brain's working, Kev, because you're thinking about how many chances, which one were you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The header, the earliest from the cross from Kyle Walker-Peters, and you know, he should have headed it down or across goal. I mean, we saw what happens when Livramento headed it down last week. Do the same thing, Armstrong. Just head it down.
Straight into the ground.
Yeah.
But, it didn't work out for Shea later on, did it?
No, he should have put his laces through that. But yeah, the goal, Kevin, 20 minutes, not quite 7.69 seconds, but we'll take it. Very, very good goal. No backlift. It was kind of underneath his feet, wasn't it? And it was just a top quality strike, top corner, top bins. Beautiful and a great contender for goal of the month for October. And I liked what they said on Match of the Day, saying Adam's making the hard look easy and the easy look hard.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of Letizia-esque, really, wasn't it?
Underneath his feet, yeah.
Controls the ball and just stops it and then aims for the top corner. That's one for Ben Foster's TikTok fans, isn't it?
The one moment that caused us the most concern was Ismail Assar. Because Ben Foster, brilliant, by the way, sends a delightful free ball from, you know, a quick goalkeeping distribution straight out to Josh King. He's on his way and plays a pinpoint cross, which was also excellent, to the feet of Saar. He shoots through Maka, who should have done a lot better with that, by the way. But Kyle Walker-Peters on the line. Fantastic defending.
Yeah, it was a quick thing on the counter-attack, and King definitely is dangerous, and he's got acres of space. Saar's shot at Maka gets... I don't understand quite how it gets beyond Maka. Between him and the post. But Carl Walker-Peters is getting back to the line to clear it off, and he's just sort of setting himself up, and it comes like off of his arse or something. He's the kind of human draft excluder. And it takes Romelu to eventually clear it. But yeah, goodness. Watford fans, they were already celebrating behind the goal that they thought they was in.
Of course they did. But it was a close shave.
Speaking of close shaves.
Support for In That Number is brought to you by Manscaped. Imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. I'm one of the first people to try out this new 4.0, and yeah, I'm blown away with the performance, the craftsmanship, the details on the 4.0. They are next level, Kevin. How about you?
This is definitely one thing that every man needs.
Quality of this product is amazing, and I've been sent the 4.0 lawnmower, which also comes with the reviver, the deodorant, the ball deodorant, which, by the way, oh, my goodness. I mean, I tried it out first day I got it. Incredible. Long-lasting. Smells amazing. Also, the boxer shorts. I tried the boxer shorts, the anti-chafing boxer shorts from Manscaped. Genuinely the most comfortable pair of boxers I've ever worn. Fantastic. The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ITN20 at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. But yeah, back to the game. We kept carving out the chances too, didn't we? The one that baffles me is that Shea Adams header from the Armstrong cross. I still don't know how he's missed that. It wasn't.
Do you have the header?
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, it wasn't quite as bad as Redmond's last week, but still. Yeah, but should he be heading at that height? I don't know. Any other part of the anatomy and that's on target?
Well, I mean, I think it's it's a great ball in from Armstrong, and you know, you have to judge how low it's going to come at the time that he's delivering it. So maybe he just thought that it was going to land a little bit higher than it did.
I see that. But these are the times, Kevin, that you missed Danny Ings. I think I mentioned it on our Discord that, you know, had he been still playing for us, I think he would have taken all the chances, I'm sure. Because, I mean, you need prolific strikers in this league, and that's the difference, I think. If you have that prolific goal scorer, then, yeah, all those chances could have been taken. And I'm sure Ings would have taken them.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I like Adam Armstrong. I think I said during the match that we've replaced Danny Ings with a striker who does everything that Danny Ings did except score goals.
That's exactly what I reckon. Yeah. He's got to start scoring again soon, because I don't know if he's a player that thrives on confidence, but I don't know. I know he's got one in his first game, but just lots of chances, and we just weren't testing Foster. But you know, had more chances in the second half still. Again, didn't test Foster. Watford, though, they started to get, I don't know, they got more of the ball, I would say. Kuchka? Tried out Maka on a slippy surface, didn't he? And then, you know, the Ashley Fletcher, wow, that could have levelled it had it not been for Maka. That was a match-saving save, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that would have been the equaliser.
Yeah, sure. And
then I don't think he would have blank range as well.
Yeah. Nice little swivel turn shot. Great save. But people will still debate why Forster isn't starting. But like I've said before, Macca's having a good season. And he can't be perfect all the time. I get that. But he saved us at points. And he did there again. And if you can't hit enough of your shots on target and your keeper isn't performing, then you drop points. I mean, just luckily that Macca is performing. But on another day, you know, we could have had three or four. That's just the way it is. But like you said, it's a big, big, big away win. And that's undefeated in the league now, Kevin, three. But one shot on target, that has to improve.
Well, how many shots would you say that we got?
I'm going to say 15, 16 shots.
No, we got 12.
12, okay. But yeah, one on target.
One on target, yeah. I mean, I thought we'd have a lot more shots than that, but just one shot on target is disappointing.
And Adam Armstrong, as we mentioned, he can score goals. We bought him in to score goals. 29 goals in all competitions last season. I know it's the Championship, but still, that is a lot of goals at that level.
Mm.
And yeah, we just need him to find the net soon. But
one goal this season, that is not many goals at all.
Not at all. Well, Broya's got four in all competitions, so hopefully he'll be back. But yeah, Kev, I want to ask you about James Ward-Prowse's return, and what did you make of it?
I mean, he was there.
Put in the most crosses again, but then, you know, he's back on set pieces, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you don't notice him that much, Prowse's generally having a relatively good game. But yeah, I thought it's a bit harsh on Diallo to leave him out, but you know, you've got to. If Prowse's coming in, something's got to give. And Prowse and Romeo can hold the ball up well. And I don't know, I thought it was a little bit telling that he got taken off.
Is that just for fitness, do you think?
You think so, yeah. I mean, because there's something kind of psychological when he was on that long streak of playing every minute of every game. And now that he's been suspended, it doesn't really matter. If you think that it's worth taking him off, you can do that now.
Sure. Yeah, maybe. You may
just
be
rest
right.
Rest him, then. You know.
Yeah, rest him, because, say, we've got a very big game coming up on Friday. But, yeah, man of the match for you, Kevin?
I mean, yeah, Livramento was his usual brilliant self. And Walker Peters, you know, he had a couple of bad games as a left back. But he was fantastic for that match. Macca, I mean, didn't really have much work to do, did he?
No, I mean, he should have done better with that Saar one, but he made that good save from Ashley Fletcher.
Yeah, I thought Salisu dealt with Saar, he's the only real threat, really. Josh King wasn't having a particularly good game.
No.
And yeah, Salisu stuck to him really well. But I'm going to give it to Che.
Really?
Yeah, that goal, I think that's going to be what he needs to get him back and get his scoring form back.
Well, he's got two this week, hasn't he?
Yeah, and we haven't really talked a huge amount about Shay, but the performances haven't been world-beating, but yeah, he's delivered the goods.
Speaking of goods... I don't think I can give it to Armstrong or Adams because I felt they could have done so much more.
Armstrong definitely could, but I think Adams was
The header?
Much more hogwash. Yeah, again, I just think that's a poor judgment, to be honest.
I'm just taking them as a pair. See, and speaking of pairs, oh goodness. But yeah, I mean the back line I thought played well, and you can include Macca in this because he made a wonderful save, but. I mean, I guess you could make an argument for the whole defence because they were untroubled largely and did their job quietly. Didn't put a foot wrong, did they, any of them? So, I mean, I'm going to take one from there. Kyle Walker-Peters was great. Livramento was doing what he has been doing all season. Bednarik was quiet, but quietly went on about his business in a good way. It's kind of like the same thing you said with James Ward-Prowse. He's having a quiet game. You know, it's same with Bednarik. He had a quiet game, but... He did everything well. But I'm going to give it to Salisu because I think he was just solid again. And, you know, he always seems to be winning those important tackles. He puts himself in the right places. And he led the team again in tackles and interceptions. Doing so much. And I think most of it is going unnoticed. but I think he's improved massively over the last few months. So yes, I'm going to give it to Mohamed Salisu.
Yes, well, very well deserved. Yeah, the way he just tracks back on the counter, it just left them with nothing to do.
Yeah, you're right. It's just been a solid defensive performance. You can see that Ralph's worked on that and shut that up quite a lot. But moved 14th place, 2 wins, 5 draws, and 3 losses. If only we had that someone that was clinical, then those results that get away from us could be turned. But fear not, if you're missing Danny Ings, then you only have to wait 4 more days because he returns to the South Coast.
Speaking of Cox.
This is Klaus Lundekvam, and you are listening to In That Number.
Okay, we are back with Tim. Tim's here to discuss the Aston Villa game. So, Tim, how are you?
You know, things are coming to a close. I'm leaving in a couple days, heading to see you guys and heading to the UK, which I'm looking forward to. Everything else is going pretty smooth. I'm actually technically working today, but...
Speaking of smooth... So I'll stop doing this, I promise.
We've been doing this all quite, Tim. It's just a recurring thing.
Yeah, but anyway, Tim, thoughts on yesterday?
Honestly, I wouldn't say it was comfortable, but it definitely made me feel that we can play better than the teams that we need to be better against than to not get relegated. So, Che, 2-2, like a ketchup bottle once he starts – once he starts coming out, it just starts dropping goals left and right. Beyond that, though, consistent formation, smooth efforts, outside of Walker Peters' backside there, saving our tail literally and figuratively. Mm-hmm. It was a good game. We'll take it.
Absolutely. So now we look ahead to Friday, the 5th of November, and Aston Villa at home. Nickname of Aston Villa.
The Villains.
Yep, I'll take that one.
The Lions as well, I suppose.
Yeah, the Lions. I've got the Villa and I've got Claret and Blue Army. That's a shit one, but yeah. Famous fans, anyone?
Half of David Cameron.
David Cameron, yeah.
Prince William.
Prince William, yeah, the Duke of Cambridge, to give his full title, yes. Come on, Tim, an American actor.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, yeah. Kev got there just a little bit before you. I've also got Ozzy Osbourne and England ex-cricketer Ian Bell. But enough of that shit. So, Villa, then. Speaking of shit, Aston Villa, the Danny Ings homecoming, started so well. Not him, I just mean Villa. And they've dipped somewhat. Actually, they sit one place below us, but, you know, as mentioned before, they play West Ham late afternoon. Who knows how that one's going to play out, because I certainly don't. But how are those trophies working out for Danny Ings then, Tim?
So, yeah, they're 1 point below us in the table right now. They do have a game in hand, though, so we'll find out what happens when they play West Ham, who's honestly doing fantastic. So they're playing today since we're casting here on a Sunday. Nonetheless, they're not really doing too hot. Ings has taken up the goals in which Watkins was scoring last year, and so Watkins has been kind of just ass the entire year. I don't know. I had him on my fantasy team at the beginning of it and realized what the hell was going on. And then I realized that Ings was taking all his goals. So he's making up the slack for the rest of the team. And ultimately right now they're not looking too hot. Now, do I think they'll get relegated? No, but, some of their summer signings, including Leon Bailey and Emilio Buendia have not really kicked on. So, HITC7s, if you haven't yet, it's a great YouTube series. Please watch it. He was talking about how that Buendia is one of the players that are used out of the position in which they're normally played in. And that has been affecting his game. So normally where he lines up on the right, they're having him line up more centrally. And that has been causing the issues. And so it's a great analysis that I found and take a look at that if you can. But beyond that, the only injury that they really have right now is Bertrand Traore. He's been out with a thigh injury. And so will he be back against West Ham? That's today. I don't know, but I could definitely see him playing against us on Friday. Beyond that, I want to give a shout out to the American Indiana Vasilev, who is currently on loan at Inter Milan, but had some game time with them last year. And he's a fun character. If you ever watch him play, he's a bit squirrely out there.
So Russian, Vasiliev.
He's got a Russian heritage. But his parents were huge fans of Indiana Jones, which is why he's named Indiana.
That's weird.
Indiana Vasiliev. Yeah, that sounds great.
That's got to be a first, doesn't it? There's only one in the world, surely.
Yeah. So what is their formation? It looks all over the place. Sometimes it's listed on paper as a 3-4-1-2. It's 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3. Because they started last week against Arsenal with a 3-4-1-2. So they played three center backs at the back. Looking at that formation is kind of something to build off of. Right now, I don't think they'll run a 3-4-1-2. I think they'll put a 4-2-3-1. And the reason is Tunzabe who's on loan from United, played in that center of the back three. I think they'll go just back to a flat back four or with Target, Konsa, Mings, and Matty Cash, the newest Polish citizen out there.
I saw that, yeah.
Then from there, we're looking at Douglas Luiz, John McGinn, and Buendia. And then Watkins, Ings, and Bailey. I think they're going to go for
Watkins, Judas, and Bailey.
Yeah, Judas. I think they're going to go for it. And you'll look at Jacob Ramsey, Bertrand Traore, and Elgazi as offensive subs to come on in. Looking at that, and obviously Martinez in goal, which I forgot.
And incidentally, speaking of Indiana Vasilev, Kev, do you know he was born in Georgia, Savannah, Georgia.
Oh,
okay. But he's Bulgarian descent, by the way. I've just looked him up. So, yeah, not Russian. Grandfather.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, grandfather's from there. Yeah, Tim, I'm really quite worried about this game, to be honest. I think I would have been more so if they hadn't have taken maximum points at Vicar Ridge Road. But I don't know. I just sense a really, really tense atmosphere on Friday night.
You're absolutely 100% correct. So on Guy Fawkes Day, November 5th, 8 p.m. return of Danny Ings. There's a lot of hype going on for it. You can see it across the message boards. It's going to be a good one, and of course, it's going to be nervy. It's going to be it's going to feel weird, but I'm really hoping for a good game. And I think they're going to come out charged, and I think they're going to be hyped throughout the rest of during the week, knowing that Ings is coming back and seeing that they've got 7 points of their last nine. Going in, they've got some confidence. I like it. It's going to be nerve wracking, but going into it, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Fuck knows, mate. I mean, no idea what to expect.
Okay, well, shall we go into predictions then?
Yeah, go on then.
Who wants to go first? Loads of people putting their hand up. Okay, well, I'll go first then. It's going to be a 1-1 draw. That's it. 1-1. And Danny Ings is going to score. If he's fit. I just have I said last week, I have this feeling he's going to get injured against West Ham. I still think that, but, you know, if he plays, he scores. And then we grab an equaliser. 1-1.
Does he celebrate?
Gineppo scores as well, by the way. That's a bold one. Does he celebrate? No. No.
Does he cup his hands behind his ears?
No, I think he kind of runs over to his teammates and he kind of, like, does the down gesture with his hands, just sort of like, calm it down a bit. But he's smiling and he's happy. There you go. I see it.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Tim, do you want to go next? Let Kev go last.
Yeah, it's going to be 2-2. We're going to see one of the best games of the season so far. I really do.
So
I think it's going to be...
Yeah,
it's going to be attacking. Ings has like a 50% chance to score. It's going to be crazy to think about, but... yeah, I'm going with 2-2. I really do think we're going to come out swinging. I think they're going to come out swinging. I think it's going to be a super attacking game, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And you're going to see a lot of cheers and a lot of boos and a lot of yelling and screaming and smack talk.
And this is before the game. This is when Kev and you are in the pub.
Yeah. I mean, quick story. So I live in North Carolina. I saw a Watford fan, a guy running down the street with a Watford shirt on.
Wow.
And
you don't even see them in Hertfordshire.
No. I literally started chirping at him from my car, thinking, telling him he's going to lose.
Oh, you should have.
You should have done.
So I never thought I'd have that level of conversation here in North Carolina of all places. Mm. So I hope that I don't eat my words. Mm. And I think it'll be a lot of, I do think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it'll be great. And this coming week. And yeah, so watch for loss, which is great.
Perfect.
If you do bump into any Aston Villa times fans between now and the time that you leave, you should definitely go up and say something.
Yeah, give them a message from us, will you? You can just say from us. If you want to know what I said, send me a message. Alex is going 2-1 Saints, by the way, so he's going for a Saints win. Kevin, are you going for a win or for a
oh, okay.
or for a loss?
I'm going for the same, going for a 2-1 Saints win. Yeah.
Nice. And the wives then, Gemma is going, she's going 0-0.
Yeah.
She's so fucking pissed off right now, by the way, because she went against her grain of the 0-0 in the cup, and of course it was a fucking draw, wasn't it? So she's angry at me now because, yeah, I said to her, when she said 0-0, I said, this is Chelsea in the cup. Come on, it's not going to be a 0-0 draw. She went, all right, I'm 3-0 Chelsea. And then, of course, it was 0-0. But it was 1-1, sorry. So, yeah, she's not happy. So she's going to, and she doesn't care who they're playing, whether it's bloody Man City at the Etihad, whether it's fucking Brazil from the 70s. She's going 0-0.
I don't care if he's Mohammed. I'm fucking out, Bruce Lee.
Exactly, yeah, she's going 0-0.
You should still ask her each time, though.
Oh, I will, don't worry.
If she keeps saying 0-0, then fair enough. But if she does,
she might throw a curveball every now and then.
But like this one.
You never know.
And then, and it will be guaranteed to be 0-0. Verena is going for a 2-1 win.
The Villa?
Two Saints.
And what about Abby?
Abby is very pessimistic about this game. She's extremely nervous about it, and she does not think the Saints will win. It is 2-1 to Villa.
Boo! The only one who's taken a Villa win. And Caitlin is going for 1-1, Kev, which was the same as me.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, Tim, that is about it.
Thank you so much. It's going to be a good time. I can't wait to be back in Southampton all next week. Very excited. Taking the time and effort. If you see me with a Chicago flag, says Chicago Saints on it, please stop by and say hi. Would love to talk with and hear about your story, where you're at. And it's been great being on this cast. And ultimately, it's going to be really fun being back in the environment that is St. Mary's.
Oh, yeah, I second that. Yeah, and just to piggyback off of what Tim said, yeah, if you do want to meet us up, I say Kev and Tim are actually in the UK. This is the first time that all three of us have actually met and been together at the same time. So it's going to be a great, great time for us. I'm really looking forward to it too, Tim. But if you do want to meet us up, then contact us at some point. Send us an email, send us whatever. You know how to contact us by now. And then we'll definitely meet up because we are going to be hitting a lot of fucking bars. That's for sure.
Yeah, if you've got fuck all to do on a Friday afternoon, you best come join us.
Friday morning, actually, probably like 10:30.
Yeah, probably.
We're doing college football tailgating level and starting from there.
Nah, you have to follow the British rules. You can't drink a drop of alcohol before 12 o'clock, otherwise that makes you an alcoholic.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, though.
Oh, right. Somewhere. Yeah, that's true. I just could do it off of Moscow time then.
Kev's on Moscow time. We can drink all around the club.
And my wife just said, no, not college level football drunk. You can't do that.
No. We do have to watch.
Yes, we do have to enjoy the game. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a great time. But can't wait to see everybody and go Saints.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great. Cheers, Tim. Up the Saints. Okay, extra time segment then, Kevin. Predictions then, yeah. Chelsea game. I went 2-0 Chelsea. Tim went 3-1 Chelsea. Alex went 3-0 Chelsea. Kev, what did you go for?
I can't remember. Could you remind me?
You went 1-1. But, of course, they lost 4-3.
Fuck off. Not even that.
No, you got it spot on, Kev. Well done. That was a really, really good one to pick. That's probably one of the best results ever, because he would have predicted that right, apart from you. That's excellent, Kev. Well done. 5 points. Brilliant stuff. And Watford, I went 2-1 Saints. What did you go, Kev? You went a draw. Fuck you. Tim also went a draw, and Alex went for a Watford win. So I was the only one who picked up points there, just so you know. So the points after Watford, then. Alex is on 4. Tim is on 8. I am on 13, but you are pulling away, Kevin, on 20 with those 5 points. So brilliant stuff, mate. Well done. Wife Wars?
Yes, I'm not looking particularly good for the wives. Not many correct results. Only just Abby and Caitlin both predicted a Saints win against Watford. Nobody got a draw against Chelsea. Gemma and Marina scored nothing. Which means that, Abby and Caitlin on 10, Jenna on 10, and Marina on 13. So it's very close now.
It is close. Super 6, Kevin. Round 17 was won by Ben Wyatt with 11 points, and Colin Carter still has the overall lead on 157 smackers. Fantasy football.
My fantasy team, absolutely shocking. I've decided to be consistent and just captain Salah every week because it's just too difficult if you don't do it. But all right for me. 35 points this week. That's not good. I've still got a couple of players though. Aaron Cresswell, Rafinha, and the like, and the Wolves goalkeeper. How's your team looking?
Exactly the same, mate. Well, I'm doing worse though. I've got 28 points, but I say exactly the same because I've got Cresswell and Rafinha if he's there, and I've got Judas still to play.
And you kept Judas in?
I did, yeah. I thought, why not? But my bench has killed me this week because I got Gallagher on the bench and he scored 13. But then if Rafinha doesn't play, because he's got a question mark of 75% chance of playing today, then Gallagher will come in. I also had Wan-Bissaka on the bench and he scored me 7, whereas Ruben Dias scored me 1. So that pissed me off because, I mean, why would you put a Man United defender in after what they did last week, right? And playing Tottenham away, I think you got more a chance of Dias and Cresswell to score points. So that was my decision and it was a wrong one. So, yeah, 28 points.
Yeah, and results like that mean that we're both languishing in the doldrums of both our Podders League, which is topped still by Oliver Bowes. So Freddie's catching up. And the big In That Number podcast league, where I am 65th. You're 49th.
Oh, wow, every cloud.
Alex has to do well there.
Oh, good stuff. Well done, Alex.
Yeah, at the moment, David Phillips tops the league. Why me? Why not? And then we've got Sadam Milosevic's Sunderland and Bobby Brown's magical change. Rounding off the top three there.
Russian phrase this week, Kevin?
Okay, I've got an easy Russian phrase for you this week. Anatomia chin.
Anatomia chin.
Guess what that means?
Chase anatomy. Yeah.
Russian's easy when you know how.
Okay, if you want to buy us a coffee, you can head over to buymeacoffee.com/innatnumber. If you would like to go to manscaped.com as well and get 20% off your purchase, then use the code ITN20 at the checkout. Next week, we will discuss Aston Villa as we head into November, and we will give our player and goal of the month for October 2.
Up the Manscaped shavers.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Podcast Network.